Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's the Red Men Originals podcast. This was a really upbeat show. Not 1 week ago. Yeah. Not 1 week ago, we were all happy and upbeat and planning for our late title tilt. And here we are again, Liverpool. We didn't lose, but they certainly felt like they lost.
I genuinely thought, even Friday, Liverpool were going to get top four. And now I'm back to, I don't think we can get top four again, yeah. You know.
I still think they will, but I just...
If Conte comes back, I think that's our only chance.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying Tottenham have been brilliant since Conte's left?
Yeah. They have, the form's gone through the roof since he disappeared to Italy. And
can we just have him back, please? Yeah. We need to send a good medical team over to Italy to sort Conte out, to get him back into the Tottenham hot seat.
See if he wants to arrange a visit to the AXA. Come on, have a look around, get hoodooed and be out for...
That's not what we need at all.
Yeah, damn it. Kick-off question is just one I've made up on the spot because I saw one of the live show comments. And it was from AJ. It says, why do I not believe the FSG war chest of 300 million? So the question is not whether you believe that. The question is, do you believe Indy Kyler when he tweets... Early morning news, just been told that FSG have informed Jürgen Klopp that 300 million will be made available for transfers. Wow. Who believes Indy Kyler?
I have no reason not to believe that, man. I trust him in my life.
I like Indy as a person. We've spoken to him a couple of times in the flesh, but can't possibly reveal his identity because I don't actually really know it. He just says hello every now and again. Like, oh, God, yeah, you're Indy Kyler.
To know who he is, really.
Yeah, I mean...
Or her.
Oh,
all day, you know, all day, yeah, all day, them, yeah.
Indy Kyler them.
I'll believe it when I see it. Is probably the easiest response to that.
Yeah, FSG and Indy Kyler, when they tell me they've got 300 million, I'm not believing either of them. To be honest with you, I'm just, it's a blanket rule.
I mean, look, you've got to protect yourselves in times like this. You've got to pull up certain protectional barriers around you, and that's not letting certain things from the outside in and letting transfer guff into your life in February when Liverpool are performing indifferently at very, very best. Is not the best time for anyone's mental health to start thinking about what Liverpool's transfer war chest will or won't be. What will Liverpool's position in the table do to impact Jude Bellingham's thoughts on Liverpool Football Club? Fuck off. It's just a path to madness. Save yourselves. Right. Let's... I don't want to talk about Crystal Palace 0, Liverpool 0. Chloe, you seemed really happy having once again travelled away to watch Liverpool play. Didn't lose. Didn't see us lose. That means you're in a good vein of form right now.
I tell you what, if looks could kill.
I really was thinking that Jürgen had come out and say, you know what, we've gave something back to the fans there. We've got a 0-0 draw. We haven't conceded. I really did think he was going to do that again, like he did against Brighton. I reckon I could have fell asleep with my eyes open watching that game, I thought. It was dreadful. An entire day wasted. Nice one, Liverpool.
Me and Chris watched it in the pub, so I had the thing of A, I was drinking, and B, there was a random fella's head in my way for a good deal of it, which is fine. As it turned out,
it wasn't until midway through the second half when you realised there was a closer telly behind you.
Turned around and watched the actual telly, but I was craning my neck. It was just drab, Dan, and it was okay at times, and then it threatened to get away with us. I was kind of, I find it really shocking going back and looking at the stats from it, because if you look at the stats, it looks like it's all Liverpool. Mm. But I never felt like that at any real point during the game. You know, a couple of standout shots and stuff. It always felt like they were more dangerous than we were. I don't know whether that's a psychological or the
reality. Yeah, I think that stems from a lot of their opportunities being on the counter. And it's obviously a lot more open when that's the case. Because we did dominate possession and all them sort of stats, and sort of momentum was all in our favour. But it was when they nicked the ball off us, which, because of our decision making, was quite a lot. Like Naby Keita being particularly culpable for a lot of them. I think if you look at his stats, yeah. Might want to just throw whatever implement you're actually holding, because it's just horrendous. It was a car crash from him. But yeah, I think sort of game-wise, it was drab. It was boring. I agree with Chloe. We could have easily fell asleep. It was hard to watch at times. Wasn't us. But I also think Jurgen Klopp kind of approached it in that sense. I think he thought, we can't lose this game after what happened in the week, more for morale than anything else. And that's why he named the team he did and why he made the changes he did as well.
It was that bad that at full time, when I was doing reaction, I forgot Naby Keita even went anywhere near that football pitch. I forgot he forgot played a game of football point. For us.
It was so bad.
But Jurgen never forgot.
My favourite
he remembered on 45, as he tends to do quite a lot with Naby Keita. How did you get on there? Get off!
Pep told me I was starting.
Guardiola.
Yeah, getting back at like 4 a.m. in the morning was really fun. It was a great day.
It's mad though, isn't it? Like the Trent Alexander-Arnold one where he plays in one of their lads early doors.
Yeah,
that should be a goal.
And then the one where he's fighting with someone in the right back position and loses
Jeffrey
out.
Jeffrey Schlott it was, yeah.
And like, you look, like, there's a couple of them ones opportunities. There was one from a free kick where a header went wide. I don't know whether it was, I can't remember whether it was called offside or not, but that was a good opportunity for them. Obviously, they hit the bar as well. Like, there was some big opportunities and some really sort of shit play by Liverpool that allowed them to have those. And don't know, I never really felt like we were scoring apart from that one good Salah chance.
Yeah.
That was a really
it was
cracking...
Cody Gakpo I haven't seen it back, because why would I watch a 0-0 back? Cody Gakpo was through and he put it past the I thought he should have scored in that moment, but I am also... Crystal Palace's away end is the shittest away end in Premier League football. It needs sorting out. You can't see a thing. It is that claustrophobic. Everyone's just everywhere.
Yeah.
You just can't see any end of the pitch. You can't see the only part you can see is over the other side, and there's a big pillar in the way in the halfway line
it's
as well.
It's been terrible for
Random
years.
Fact, that used to be... the home end.
Oh, right.
And they moved the away fans in there.
Because it's crap.
I went, it's rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, because Palace away was the first away game I ever went to back in like 93. And we battered them first game of the season. And I remember going into the away end a couple of years ago and going, this is familiar. Why do I feel like I've been here before? And I was like, oh, I've literally sat there before. But they obviously realised, the roof's dead low.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone just piles towards the forward. And no one gets anywhere near the seats that they're meant to be in. So you end up, on your tiptoes, which for me is a thing, but I imagine for you is a lot
I was supposed to be row 9. I ended up row, 37 or something, 33, something weird like that.
Yeah, it was... But the thing that gets me on this game is, like, it's the body language that does for me is that... And... There's others who are guilty of this, but I think Trent ends up more guilty of this than most, and it makes you start to wonder like what's going on in his head and I can't help but run down like the rabbit hole of like what could it all be about, and often it's just his head's probably just done in because he was playing for a brilliant team, playing his brand of football and enjoying life, and then he's been told by everyone that he's crap. He can't get into the national team. He got dragged to a World Cup and come back, and Liverpool are still a bit crap. And it's his team and all this. So maybe he's just taking it loads more personally. But I just have this underlying thing all season for him is he looks pissed off at having to play right back for us. And you know, and this is me piling speculation on, but I don't know. It feels to me, and moving beyond Trent, we don't seem mentally strong anymore. You know, when it's not going your way, you're meant to have an indefatigable spirit, or you've got those in your team that drag you along. Mm. And this is why Milner plays and why Henderson plays, I think, because they've both got that. I mean, they're both certainly on the wane as far as their careers go. But I don't know doesn't look like anyone's prepared to drag the team up and on.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, someone said it to us in the pub, didn't they, on Saturday night when we were watching it, is that Trent looks depressed. And he's a mood killer all over the pitch. The body language isn't right in the defensive third or half or whatever. But you're moving further forward. He doesn't look like the same player. No. Like, look at him on the free kick for that one that Salah rolls to him. Like, he looks annoyed because Hendo somehow managed to get in the way. And that was clearly going in.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different body language. So I get that where you're coming from with the, he looks like he doesn't want to play right back. Because when you move him out of the right back position, he looks normal.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It looks like he wants to go and grab the game. Mm. But every time he steps out to grab the game, someone runs in behind him and scores. And he gets blamed for it, and then you end up back to these conversations that we've been tiresomely having for 6-7 years of right back's job is to defend, the full back's job is to defend first. Oh my god, yeah, all right. When you've got Gary Neville playing right back, your right back's job is to defend first, because you know why? Because you can't do fuck all else. When you've got someone like Trent, it's meant to be more. And again, I don't know that he'll ever play in midfield for Liverpool, but I'm reaching the point where if we had more options, which we don't, because ultimately you're playing Milner at right back at this point if you don't want to play Trent there, let him have a go. Let him go and see if he can drive the team on, because it doesn't look like he can do that from right back, because the only thing he can do from right back is kick the ball. You know, he can't get into dangerous areas anymore because no one's in the midfield's got the legs to cover him, so he gets the blame for that. Mm. I feel sorry for him. I think they kind of feel sorry for themselves, which is stupid. Yeah. They should be angry, and that should be the fuel that pushes them on further.
Yeah, it should be, but you're dead right. I think they just look like a team bereft of confidence. He might have started to get a little bit of that back, but took a huge dent in the week, obviously, in the Madrid game, and I think that all came home to roost again on the weekend. Like, things didn't go well early on, especially for Trent. He misplaced the pass, and Virgil has a right go at him, and they kind of had a little argument back, and from there on out, it was like the whole world was on Trent's shoulders, and I think he's probably not used to playing in the side that's struggling as much as this one, especially given the former glories of it. He's just had, not plain sailing, far from it. He's had a really brilliant career up to now, obviously, and it's all been relatively straightforward. His development's gone really well, and this season's been a huge setback for him and the rest of the team. So he looks like he doesn't really know how to handle it. He's not used to a side that's scrapping, and he can't really go and do what he wants to do because he has to worry about what you say in terms of defensively, and he hasn't coped well with it whatsoever. And I think the mentality of a lot of these lads is coming into question now. But I think you're dead right. I think he chose some safe players, or who he thought was safe bets on the weekend in Henderson and Milner, just because Jurgen Klopp knew we couldn't lose that game. We couldn't lose it because it would have absolutely killed us off. I think it would have pretty much signed our death warrant for top four. Yeah. And we didn't, so that's something.
Can I just play devil's advocate on that point? Because I get it, and I agree with you both about the Milner and the Henderson thing. Mm. But the Keita thing goes against that for me. It's like, well, if he's picking a safe midfield,
yeah,
I wouldn't pick Keita because you don't know who's going to turn up with him.
You need that third man to be a little bit more creative and have something. And Keita's like the halfway house for me for that. You could go Elliot, who's like all out, I want to go and do things up there. Whereas Keita kind of goes, I can do a little bit of that. And at my best, I can do a little bit.
Sense. You know what I mean?
That's how I see in the Keita selection. He couldn't go free battling workhorses because I don't think he needed that against Palace. And I actually think, having watched the first 45 minutes play out the way it did, the Palace not really offering loads, because they were kind of sitting back and soaking up, I think then he thought, okay, I can afford to go Elliot.
I think, look, he plays because he's a senior footballer, and it doesn't say a great deal for some of the other options, does it, I guess? And was it last week we talked about this? The issue we've got is that really, we've got almost everyone fit, with the exception of Thiago, and obviously Arthur's on his way back, but who knows if he's actually a footballer?
Who cares?
Yeah. but there's a limited amount of footballers you can actually do a bit more of the dogged stuff. He hasn't really got a huge pool to pull from. And if he's decided that he's resting Fabinho, that means Henderson is going to come into the six. And if he's also resting Bacetic, then Milner and Keita are really the only other two lads who can kind of do that, because you put an Ox in or you start an Elliot. Our mission statement since January has been don't get beaten in the first 20 minutes. So he's obviously gone. And again, for some people go, Naby Keita, part of the rugged midfield thing. And I know it sounds mad to me saying out loud, but we all watched him in the back end of last season and he was really good at that. Mm. You know, we played Burnley and he was all elbows and he was getting stuck in and he was really actually thriving on the physical challenge of it. He'd gotten better at that, but Naby Keita just looks done.
He looks like a guy who has been sacked off for an 18-year-old kid for 4 weeks, and is fuming about it, to be quite honest with
and
you.
And is leaving.
And is leaving. Because I can totally, as a human being, understand that. Yeah. I'm like, well, now you fucking want me after you've got humped by 5 goals shit past you the other night. So you're turning back to me. And then to take him
off.
You
know you wanted against Real Madrid in the Champions League.
Yeah, not that we've tried that before, but like he would have got pulled at 45, but he gets pulled at 45 again.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to have a personal and professional fucking pride that's got to kick in.
Yeah.
That's just got to mean that you've got to play but better than what you did.
This is where we're at. And it's been mad that we've survived this a lot under Klopp. But you know, it's the meritocracy. So the first half of the season, it's like everyone buys in, everyone signs the contract, we're all going to work together. And the lads who are in training are just important, the lads who take to the pitch, because we're all one squad, we're unified. And when the chance comes, everyone's going to get their opportunity. You're going to get to play your big role. But by the time you get to February, you realise, really, that's horseshit. Mm. He's got the lads who he's going to rely on, he's going to play week in, week out. And then you've got your fringe lot, and he doesn't want to have them over, you know. You've then got that psychological hump of, well, I can work my absolute bollocks off in training, I'm not going to get picked. Mm. And it doesn't matter how good I am, I'm going to get pulled for the next game. And Naby Keita's double so, because he's like, well, what is even the point? I'm going to work dead hard, and what? I'm going to get injured again, and I'm going to miss a spell of games, and then I'm going to struggle to get involved. He must just think, what is Naby Keita fighting for? And you're right, there should be some professional pride, and maybe there is, and maybe we're doing him a huge disservice based on our emotions, but I don't know. I remember Steve McManaman signing a pre-contract agreement, and that question hung over him for the rest of the season, but he was still good for the rest of the season.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just don't see what Naby's never been at that level consistently for us, and it just feels like I'd have rather given it to Elliot from the start. I'd have rather given it to Ox, but maybe Ox is even worse. You know, says wonder where Ox is psychologically at if Naby Keita's getting the nod.
Wasn't he in the squad either, was he? Ox, I just asked you that same question again. You don't quite know where he's at. Naby Keita might be showing a little bit more, but yeah, for me it was a dismal performance from start to finish. Everything he tried to do didn't come off. He was lucky enough to get sent off. He gets booked and then commits like two or three more fouls. I mean, I looked at the stats of his performance this morning before the final word, and it was like, lost 10 duels. This is in 45, give away four fouls, like a passing accuracy of something like in the 50s. It was diabolical. It was absolutely diabolical. And it did. I hate questioning whether people care. I hate questioning whether Liverpool players care, but I got no choice. I had no choice after that. It was dismal. And I think all the things you've just said there, Paul, in terms of like his professionalism and you, Chris, that's probably all right. And also you have to factor in the fact, like I say, he has got a move coming up. So he's thinking, if I do go hell for leather and get injured, that scuppers what I could do next as well. So I don't think we'll see him again. I'm not sure we should see him again.
No, and that's bad because, you know, everyone's about Liverpool's age profile. He's the one. He's the one midfielder we own who is in the age profile that you want to have in your midfield. He's 27 years old, should be the absolute peak of his powers, and he's not. And look about it, I don't think that's all his fault. You know, it was never, you know, no one wants to be injured. There's no way that he's made up that he gets to be injured, not fulfil all of his potential at a team that was winning major honours while he was there and not being able to be a pivotal part in that. But you're right, it's hard to see how he comes back, but he'll probably still have to play games. But the big onus on other players now is like Curtis Jones on the bench there and doesn't come on. And I don't know where he's at. I don't know whether he's, you know, he's got those ongoing problems. So is he still not going to be able to play football consistently? Is he going to get in the team and then miss two more weeks because of this flare up again? And are they almost thinking, what's the point of putting him in? Because you can't get, he's never going to get any rhythm. So you may as well pick. It's absolutely mad. There's Super Chat, Elite Six with £5. It's Morning Reds. I hope you're all well. Saturday shows, we miss Darwin. Say it every time on here. He's glorious, he's sexy, and we're neither without him. I mean, the one thing that we criminally lacked in the attack, Chloe, without him, was pace. And like, Jota's obviously still come back to sharpness. He's not fast. And he doesn't stretch teams in that way. And he will with his talent. I think he's a better finisher. But I don't know. I'm not sure there's a type of game at this point where we're not better off for having Darwin Núñez in the team.
It's like everyone knows what we want to do. Yous have watched us do it brilliantly. And when we're at our top level, you can't stop us. You know, you can try and stay compact, but when we literally do it for 90 minutes of a game, you get shattered and eventually we'll get a chance against you. Now we're just too predictable, and Darwin Núñez adds that unpredictability. He's so fast. He loves getting in behind. He can hold the ball up. None of our front three could hold the ball up. Every touch, and Jota's only just came back, so I'm expecting it. Every touch was not good enough. He never dragged us up the pitch. Every pass was too much. I didn't mind Cody Akpo. I thought he was one of the only ones who I thought, oh yeah, a bit of something about him. But even then, you know, on the off turn, he kept losing it sometimes, especially in the first half. And Darwin Núñez just gets you out. You can lump a ball up the pitch and just say, go and challenge for it. You're tall enough, you're strong enough, or you can go and chase it down. He puts people under pressure. We obviously missed that. I think I looked at like a start earlier, and the points we managed to get without him is absolutely awful. The amount of games we lose without him compared to with him. And he would have offered a bit more because I can't, for the life of me, I can remember two chances. One was a great shot by Salah, which shouldn't go in percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. And the other was one through ball that I'd seen to Gakpo where he missed. That's two chances in the game that I can remember. And Liverpool, what they've done all season, especially at the beginning, you'd see how many chances we'd create. And we'd just be missing massive chances. And another stat came out the other day. Darwin Núñez and Salah have created the most chances between them for playing 1,000 minutes. That is really missed.
The Núñez thing, I was actually having a look into this, and I misspoke on the last Fan Standing show this week. I got it slightly wrong, but I was talking about him, his output compared to Sadio Mane. So you look at Mane in 16-17. I think Mane only played 29 games for us that season, and we know Europe, so it was Premier League and a couple of domestic cup games, if that. Darwin's now made 29 appearances for us, and he's got one less goal and one less assist than Mane had in his first season. And Mane won Player of the Season for us that year. Yeah. Now, obviously, our standards are so significantly higher, but the mission's actually quite similar this year. The mission is top four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Darwin's got a lot of low more games left potentially to play. So we could actually, he could potentially end up on more goals than I think anyone. I think Coutinho finished that top goal scorer that season with like 14 or 15 in all comps. But it shows massive promise for me. He's just... Yeah.
He's a brilliant player. He's a chance magnet. He knows how to get into the box and where to be in the box. Misses a few too many at the moment, but I do think that will still come. I think the big problem for me is we had changes on every level of the team. You know, there's a change in the defence, there's a couple of changes in the midfield, and there's a change in the front three. And the front three, I felt like over the last sort of three games, and I'll include Real Madrid in that, we're getting an understanding together. Like, now this is the first time that Gakpo and Jota have actually played from the start together.
Yeah.
You know, and that then changes the dynamic of what we've seen from the last three games previously, where it's been the same guys and they've been looking good and they've been, you know, we've had Núñez create one for Salah, we've had Salah create them for Núñez, and we're starting to feel like we're getting some sort of symbiotic relationship between the three of them. That all went out the window.
Yeah.
And the midfield was so industrious and crap that didn't help the forward three players.
Well, we were talking, weren't we, that... It was a little surprising Bobby didn't get the nod, but to your point, that's another change. And it might be one that actually
a further change might have helped us because you would have had a bit more continuity in a front three you've played together before.
But when you've had the midfield changes and the defensive changes,
that was actually the biggest problem for me. It was the disjointed nature of that front three, and also it wasn't helped by the fact that Gakpo played centrally, which I don't mind when Nunes is on the left or if Diaz comes back. But Jota from the left and Gakpo central didn't seem to make a lot of sense as the game wore on, because Jota was dropping short a lot to do those things he'd do in a nine, and you also got Gakpo doing that, and no one on this side going in behind. It was strange to me. It felt like they could have swapped. He should have, maybe Klopp could have learned it during the game, or between them they could have sorted out. But I'm a huge one on that cohesion of the front three, mainly because during my lifetime, Liverpool's most successful teams have been primarily based on having Mane, Firmino, Salah, that cohesive front three that just know where they are at all times. And we lost that completely on Saturday, and it showed massively in the performance. So yes, we missed Darwin and everything he offers, but moreover, we missed that level of understanding that this front three had none of.
I think the important thing, and it'll fall on deaf ears at the moment, my hope with this is that when we turn the corner in the COVID season, we started to turn it performance-wise, but we weren't getting the results still. And we draw those two games. I think one's against Leeds, and I was having a chat with my dad, it's maybe Newcastle's another one we draw, and then we go and win the final 10 or whatever that follow. I don't think we've got 10 wins back-to-back in us at this point, but we have got more games left in the season to play. I feel like a month ago we'd lose that game. And it doesn't feel great, but we're not in a position where we're turning draws into wins. We're turning defeats into draws at this point, particularly in the away form. All of a sudden, we're what, two wins and a draw in the last three is more starting to resemble positive form than it looked like prior to that. I feel like, I know this is, it's a stretch, but the next 2 weeks, we'll lead into the rest of the podcast, but this is where the next two games start to matter, because if you get positive results in that, all of a sudden you're on a 5-game unbeaten run in the Premier League and things will look rosier. If we'd conspired to lose that at the weekend, I think you're in the mud completely and your season's completely
My analogy for that would to continue your turning the corner. I think when we left the game the other week, we made Gareth and we give him a lift to the station, and you end up shooting down left turns and right turns, and you're still in a traffic jam no matter which way you go. You're still in the car for an hour. You might be moving, but you're still in the car for an hour. It's not really any better. You could have just sat there.
With Austin Powers trying to turn the trolley thing around.
But that's what I'm kind of feeling like now. It's like, right, we'll go down this. Fuck, another traffic jam. Great. We'll turn. Yeah, we're fucking shit here as well. Yeah. There's just loads of traffic like on the road at the moment, and Liverpool can't get through it, mate.
Yeah, no, it does feel a bit. It feels tough, doesn't it? It really does.
We'll pass Fulham though.
Yeah, I thought
convinced.
Again, Paul,
we're
going
to finish higher than Fulham.
Yeah, Paul Tompkins made a good point on this. Is that quite clearly we've got enough players there for a good team? Like, we can put a good team out, but you need to have Bacetic in the midfield, and you, as much as you don't. You need to have probably Fabinho in there, and you need to have Henderson in there, and you need to have one of Nunes or Diaz in the side, because you need someone with a bit of direct running in the team, and you need probably need someone more like Konate in the back line at the minute. That felt like to your point about the safe hands, we probably could have put like Jones and Elliott in and been loads fresher and had loads more vigour about us in that half, but he's gone to be stodgy and not get beat first and foremost, because at that point that's not our best team, and everyone knows it. Naby Keita should be nowhere near this team, and Milner should be nowhere near starting
with the greatest games. Respect, yeah, he shouldn't be,
and Henderson shouldn't be starting in the six at this point either, or maybe he should, I don't know, but you know, he's been shocking in there this season. When there was an argument a year ago that was probably
He's played best than Fabinho at times, sure, in the six, when Fabinho's been at the absolute peak of his powers. Hendo's been a better six at times. This is the thing we were talking about it in the pub, weren't we? I think, Chloe, Hendo used to be an option. The six, he's not really been that this season. Why do you reckon that is?
Injuries, or the fact that, like, literally, Bajetic just came in and being boss. I'd say injuries. He'd been out constantly. And it's a case of armoured, like, it's just every single week I realise just how shit we are. I have some
all over again, though. That's the thing for me.
Every week I have the slightest bit of positivity. I'm excited for a game of footy because it's footy, it's Liverpool. And every week I'm stunned to silence to know how crap we are and
it's
how much we fell off.
Cycle, yeah. Isn't it?
Every single week. I'm not going to lie to you, it's probably going to happen this week and it's going to feel much, much worse at the weekend.
It's short for this week.
I've missed it twice.
Yeah, it's short for this week though because we've only got like today and tomorrow to get that positivity back.
No, I'm thinking of the actual weekend.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, that. But for me, we've had far too many injuries, but also people have just been shit. If we're being deadly honest, and like you mentioned earlier, people feeling sorry for themselves. Every single player on that pitch is feeling sorry for themselves. I don't care if you fell off a cliff, but I want to see some form of reaction, and I've not once seen a reaction ever. If you are feeling. Like, if you've bottled it up, scream on a football pitch. You know, fucking do something. Don't just be the solid thing that we look at Trent for. I need to scream at other people. Scream at Jordan Henderson. Scream at people. I need just to let it out because whatever you're doing right now is just not working
that,
for me.
The video clip's doing the rounds on Twitter, as Twitter is wanting to do, and it's when Harvey comes on the pitch and he plays a little give and go with Henderson and bombs forward and Jordan just tucks back inside and then knocks it back to the defence and it's just like, I screamed at the telly at that point, but that's just where we're at and everyone is bottling it and it's, but that's where, again,
that's when you're afraid to lose.
That's a massive problem.
Yeah, like, you know, we've done that in 5-a-side games and 11-a-side games and stuff. When you're scared of losing, you play it too
and
safe
and you don't want to blame
you
on you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the other thing, the passing the book, and there's no trust in one another. I think Trent suffered with this, particularly in the second half when he had his bad moments. He felt like, I can't give it to Matip because you've been prone to errors. I can't even give it to Alisson because you've been prone to errors. Yeah. So what do I do? And he kind of froze and Schlupp nicked it off him and there was a chance. There's loads of that going on across the pitch. The one person who showed the opposite of that was Harvey Elliott for a little bit when he came on, added some impetus. But then we even dragged him down to our level as well. We knocked that self-confidence out of him quickly.
Well, you saw that with the ball over the top. Was it to Jota running through the
lovely
middle?
Ball, yeah.
Brilliant ball. It's the type of, that's decision making that you need. It's proactive. It's going out there and going, I think this is on, let's go and give this a go. What we see with Liverpool too often, and it's great to dominate possession, it really is, but there's good possession and bad possession at times. You know, watch a Pep Guardiola side from 2 years ago, that's good possession, you're working teams. What we're doing is we're just playing it from side to side slowly. That's not working anyone, it's not tiring anybody out. Yeah. You're not asking them, they're just moving as a compact four across and back again, and then it's like, well, you do it, and I don't know, you do it. I don't really want to fail, you do it.
Loads of that. Pathetic, to be honest.
We've got the Bias Football podcast coming up after this on Plus. I want to talk about the League Cup final and that, but I was watching Newcastle play in that, and what happens, like, Guimaraes gives it to Joe Linton and then bombs forward 20 yards and gets the return ball. Joe Linton passes it to Guimaraes and bombs on 10 yards afterwards. Their midfield is constantly working for each other, constantly making space, and that was the thing that Harvey Elliott mentioned before, provided. Mm. When our midfield works, that's what it does, but it's like that. It's that fear. It's that we're playing without a safety net now. You know, we're treading this tightrope and nobody wants to be the one who plays that pass and it breaks down on. And so we've got these new lads who are fresh, who are actually prepared to do, because they're all hungry and they've all got the fire to fight for it.
Not been burned as much,
also knows he's an 18-year-old kid, so if he gets it wrong, the crowd ain't going to... So the other day, it was Real Madrid. He does an awful ball to Joe Gomez, who lays it back to Alisson, and Alisson Fs up, we all know. And no one screams at Bajetic for that. And I think he was also... He lost the ball maybe for another goal, but no one screams at him because he's trying to do the right thing and he's 18 years old. If someone was, I think someone was tried to scream at Bajetic the other day. He was down the left hand side and he loses the ball in the second half. And I don't think nothing comes from him, but someone in the crowd fumed about Stefan Bajetic. And loads of Liverpool fans turned round, stopped facing the game and started having a go at him. And the reasoning is he's an 18-year-old lad. He's been thrown in the deep end. He's trying his best. He's been our best player. So there are some players who are Harvey Elliott less likely to get a load of crap because we shouldn't have to rely on an 18-year-old lad to do it.
You didn't have to look in the Newcastle game to find a midfield doing that, Paul. Palace's midfield did that. Like, I was watching the highlights back this morning, and that one where Naby Keita's pouring at the lad like three times.
Yeah.
They've won two does twice in the middle of the park with their midfielders. Yeah. Like, that's not something we ever do anymore, is it? Like,
it is. It's just it's all linked.
everything we do is linked, and that's the point. You know, it was so easy to point back 2 years ago of like, just put some defenders in and that'll sort all the problems out. Even putting lower quality defenders in will solve the problem because you're putting better quality midfielders in back in the midfield. And at the moment, it's just everything is linked. Nobody, everyone's got all the pressure, the weight of the world on the shoulders. And again, you're right, like, go back to the point earlier, Trent and Virgil are not the guys who should be digging us out of the shit. They're like the
cool, the calm, collected.
Well, yeah, they're the Rolls Royces. Yeah. They're the ones who are supposed to be in their prime. Who just get to provide a calming aura and play some good football. Thiago's meant to be that for us, but they need lunatics around them doing all the physical work.
Too many
Jedi's,
not enough Carragher's. Exactly. What are you saying?
Yeah, and even then, like, you know, like that's later days, Gerrard. You know, we need more young Gerrards and less, you know, Gary Max. You know, you can have your old past masters, but you need those guys. And again, it goes back to that point. We've got just about enough players, I think, to do that for one game a week, but I don't think we've got enough to be doing it two games a week and or more, because there's only one Stefan Bečetić at the minute, which sounds like the worst song anyone's ever made.
A proper championship.
Yeah. But we are.
Watch one game in the pub. Yeah. And you come back with that chance. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, well done.
It's one of our own.
Up the Football League we go.
Yeah. But at least we've got, yeah, to the point. This will be determined, the quality of this result. It feels bad because I think we were. Right. Okay. Top four now. Top four will sort itself. But the revelation came to me at the weekend. It was a quiet, reflective, hungover moment on Sunday when the top four race never gets solved prior to the last week of the season. Mm. Like, and someone will be able to, someone I'm certain in moments will have a caps lock engaged telling me which season it did.
Not one with Leicester involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. But
by and large, I would suggest for almost every season, the fourth position in the Premier League is never shown up until like the last kick of the season. In fact, we finished third on the last game of the season.
Yeah. When we were going for fourth.
Yeah, we were going for fourth, but that was impossible. And so we're not going to. No, nobody is going to have fourth place in the league boxed in the next month or the next 2 months. You can build up towards it. So this is the thing. This is how good we are. We're not good enough now to win 15 games of football back-to-back and piss this. And neither are Tottenham and neither are Newcastle and neither are, God knows, Brighton and Fulham and all that kind of stuff. The trick is just to put a run of form together, and it's too early to say whether we've done that. But if you wanted to start somewhere, I would suggest not losing three consecutive games of football and keeping three clean sheets is not the worst start for it. But yeah, it doesn't mean for it a scintillating way to watch or enjoy football, but it's something.
In another point, we're looking for the director of football and that. What about Brighton's and their scouting department, by the way?
Chelsea robbed all theirs, didn't they?
Yeah, scumbags.
Newcastle took the director, Chelsea have stolen those. So they haven't. Dan Ashworth, it was.
So we don't actually know whether Brighton have got one who can do it anymore, because he's a new person in the job. Yeah,
looking at what Brighton do, generally will be handy though in that department. They're really good at that sort of stuff.
Well, if we continue to be rubbish, the bar's going to lower, and then we can go back to buying £5 million players from relegated teams, because the bar of the squad is going to be lower. You're not looking to buy worldies all of a sudden. You can have developmental lads. Right, cool. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to do the agony rant section, which it might feel like we've done that already, but I'm sure we can plumb the depths a little bit further for that one. We're going to be looking ahead to Wolves and probably a touch to United as well. But yeah, short break from us, and then we will return.
Hey guys, how would you like to get your hands on this? It is a 13-14 Liverpool home shirt signed by former Reds defender Martin Skirtle. If you want to be in the prize draw to win this very shirt, all you got to do is head on over to redmenplus.com and sign up as a Club Legend subscriber. You'll get access to all that amazing content, both in video and podcast form. But yeah, by signing up as a legend, you get loads of added perks and benefits as well, one of which is entry into the monthly prize draw. And at the end of February, we were doing that draw and giving away this, Martin Skirtle signed shirt. Make sure you're in the hat, redmenplus.com, and become a Club Legend today.
Hey, welcome back. Right. Anyone got anything they want to get off the chest for the weekly agony rant?
Well, I think my main thing would be, are we playing Wolves again?
Oh my God.
good point.
Like, what the fucking hell are we doing playing them again? If you tell me we've got Brighton at some point in the next week as well, I'm going
to
fuse.
If I have to watch Ike Nori run unimpeded down the wing again against us, or Adama Traore getting in behind, oh my God.
Like a little round robin we've got going on between the three of us.
It's just stupid, mate.
And they always beat us.
It's like when you've only got 3 years and it's not enough to play heads and volleys, so you have to play knockouts, but it's effectively one-on-one, and one goes in goal, and after like 2 hours, it's like, I know everything you've got and you know everything I've got, and it's just the two people just smacking into each other and falling down
like
on the floor.
Fury fucking Paul fight at the end where they're just holding on to each other and two trying to get past each other. You've been watching this, you know. I'm fed up of Wolves. They could suck a dick, to be honest.
That might be quite nice.
Okay.
Depends what people are into.
Should we move on quickly?
I'm not going near that.
Eat a shit's a good one.
They can eat a shit. There you go.
Like 50% of the population think that's a really good thing to do. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Right, Dan.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I was really, really sad on Saturday night. Just felt a little bit... You know, no energy left after watching that game. It sapped everything I had from me. But yeah, other than that, I give you that mind. I'm okay. Yeah, life's good. I don't know about... I want to come back to Naby Keita, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's just... That was absolutely atrocious. I can't put into words how bad that 45 minutes... And I think it might have been worse than training ground Real Madrid game. I think it might have been worse. I know we got hooked after like 20 minutes or whatever, but I think this was worse because it looked like he actively wanted to get sent off by the end of it. I'm so done with him.
Hey, there's just no world where Naby Keita now turns into a world beater.
No, that's long sailed, that ship.
And the idea then, and this is what we are, he's fighting now, or maybe he's not, but the best we can ever hope for him is he is at least at a level that he's been at. And that's, I don't even... Does anyone really know what that level looks like? Because I've got a couple of little bits and pieces.
Just not seeing it. 45 minutes against Leicester in the Cup, maybe last season. That's pretty much all I can cling to. Where did he go?
He's had good performances this year. He has. He's looked like our best midfielder at times this year.
Yeah, maybe.
January, when he came in. He comes to the side.
He did. I'll give you that. He did. You're right in saying that.
This season's the weirdest one. Isn't it like
that's someone put barb as well?
I know, but like I know when you've had a COVID one, someone put it on Twitter. It's like I can't believe this was this
Thomas
year.
Tuchel.
It's the Tuchel Conte thing.
Yeah,
I'm like,
my God,
it feels like forever ago.
We've been with 9-0 this season.
Yeah, that's also crazy. Yeah. Where does Keita go next? What happens?
RB Leipzig.
Wouldn't he have already signed with them?
Don't think it. This is the point.
So I think he's going England.
Do you?
Maybe.
Because
yeah.
I just
you could sign a foreign club, is what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
They love signing players.
Replace for Jesse Lingard.
That one, yeah.
If a Premier League club takes a point on
what him. What level's he at in the Premier League?
About where we are, mid table.
Fulham.
They're above us.
About, you said. About.
I can see him at Fulham. I can see him playing for Fulham.
He's got Leicester all over him for me. Mm. You know, and in previous eras, Newcastle. You know, or West Ham. They're like, they're the and you know, it's the path well trodden, I guess, in some regards. But it's a shame because he had so much going for him. But have we ever signed? I can only think of two players we've signed ahead of time, and they were both rubbish in the last seasons, and then never quite hit the ground running. Like, Keita, he wasn't rubbish in his last season at Leipzig, but by the standard of the season before, he was. He got sent off every other week and was nowhere near the player, like, you know, consistently. And Divock got like the Wooden Spoon Award for the league that he was in prior to joining us. And we were like, oh, can't wait to get this guy. And they were totally broken individuals by the time they rocked up at the club.
I don't know. Me and Josh did a deep dive on Keita a couple of weeks ago. I think I came out of it thinking he wasn't the right type of midfielder a year later. You know, I've made a point on here loads of times over the course of the last couple of years that, you know, when Ox got injured for us, we were a counter-attacking side. And when he came back in, we were a possession-based side, and the side moved away from him. And I think that point's right. But I also think when we signed Keita, we had Wijnaldum. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he was a completely different profile of midfielder.
He was Aquilani to Alonso.
Yeah, exactly. They're just different players. And I think now when you look at what that left-sided Liverpool midfielder is, it's Thiago. and that's not Cater either.
No.
So it's like, what you want, at times I understand this, and it's normally late in games when you want to change things up and you want to change your style a little bit. That's not, I don't think, what Liverpool really do. We don't, you know, Klopp's spoken about it, you know, and loads of managers have. It's not like always a plan B, it's plan A better. Mm. But Keita comes in and changes everything for the midfield.
Last season, he made perfect sense. It's about the second half of last season, because he would come in and give Thiago half an hour off, or he'd give Henderson half an hour off, and that was his job. He was just out of the eight, and he could play either side. He's perfectly capable of playing either side. He was nice, he was more strong, more committed, good on the ball. He's progressive with how with his carrying of the ball. He breaks lines. He goes and supports the attack. He was excellent for what he was. And I think that when we looked at our options in the summer and saw Arthur, they saw that. They said, that's all we need him to be. We just need a lad who can come in and be competent in both of those and just keep our best midfield on the pitch as much as possible. And then obviously that didn't fucking work in any way, shape or form. But that was the best that Naby was for us, was just being that. You know, doesn't have to play 90 minutes back to back to back to back. Never going to happen for him, but we can just use him as a half decent footballer. And unfortunately, this season he's got even worse than that, because he wasn't available for the first 3 months. And then since he's come back in, he's gotten less and less useful for us.
Yeah, the thing as well, I feel a bit sorry for the midfielders at times, to be honest. When I take the emotion out of it, their job last season was completely different to their job this season, in that Trent and Robertson or Trent and Tsimikas would be further up the field providing the assists. Yeah. The light has really been shone on the midfield now, because Trent and Robertson, your fullbacks, aren't doing it. And that means you need it from somewhere else on the pitch. And we don't have the midfielders to be able to do that. They're just not at the club. We just don't have that. Javier, it might be the only one who's capable of providing 10 to 15 assists from midfield.
Mm-hmm.
But we need them to do it now, because we can't get Trent working and Robbo's not doing it. So I do feel at times a little bit sorry for the midfield, because that's not what they were bought in to do.
Yeah.
It's not their remit, and they're being asked to do it now after 5 years of playing a different way.
We're crying out for midfielders who are desperate to have the football. And I mean, not just be given the football, I mean to go and get it and to take it back and want it for the team, want possession for Liverpool. And that's undermining so much of what we've got this season, because Jordan wants to do that, but it just doesn't look like he's reaching for it, and it's not there for him anymore. Exactly the same goes for Fabinho, and I think Thiago has looked, you know, he's the one putting the slides in and being physical for us, but we're asking him to do something that's not his strength in his game, and he's rising to the challenge, and he's been more than like willing to go to the, you know, to the coalface for us. But everyone else, I mean, Elliot will do it, but it's so... Naby just ends up being the one. He's the flavour of the week, to point out, because he got hooked again at 45 minutes. It's like, I asked the question on Twitter, I believe that's four times. We had this debate, I think it's four times he's now been hooked off before reaching the second half of a football match.
Mm-hmm.
We did it with Lovren, and then we brought him in the next game, and then he hit a decent little run of form. It's like we've run through the full disciplinary book. Klopp's watched every episode of Super Nanny at this point, and he's got no more techniques to use on Naby Keita. So it just makes you think that you've got, like, just play Curtis Jones or play Harvey Elliott or bring Clark in from the unders or whatever, and just give someone else. I'd rather have someone else on the bench, because he doesn't want to be there. No one else seemingly wants him there.
Was Lovren the one who had an absolutely horrific month, and we gave him Player of the Month because we would all take the piss a little bit?
Yeah.
It was him, wasn't it?
That was like when he got hooked against Tottenham.
The entire month was horrific, and at the end of the month he stood there with a Standard Chartered trophy.
Remember that.
Because we talk.
On the topic of centre backs and agony rants, I could have easily gone for the medical department again, because where's Nat Phillips gone? Reece Williams on the bench on Saturday. What happened to Nat Phillips? If last I seen him, he was a standing up human, and now he wasn't there. I don't understand what happened there.
Would you be shocked if someone told you he was injured?
I would not be that shocked by that. It may surprise you. It's just baffling again, isn't it? Just unexplained absentees.
I'm still fuming that we signed Calvin Ramsey.
You are fuming about that.
I just don't get how you do that. Obviously, gone through all the medical checks, and then about 4 months later, we realise he actually has an injury that he's had for ages.
The thing is, I know, I think it's grown, isn't it? So there's a chance where he's literally had a growth spurt, and that's caused the problem with his back, and that's happened from the time of medical. It's mad, you know. I agree. It's nuts, and it's stupid that we should even care. He's a 19-year-old backup right back. Yep. You know, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't even register with us. We shouldn't even give a two flying fucks about these things. We should be able to have conversations.
Did we
about
sell
other things.
Williams after we'd got Ramsey? Because like this could be
no,
a bit mad if
no,
we did.
Before.
Good. Yeah. Because that would have been crazy. It's like, oh yeah, we'll be fine.
Nico Williams would have had a boss season for us.
He would have played loads of.
Tech might have played midfield if Nico Williams was still here.
Does anyone know what Calvin Ramsey's done to his knee? Or...
I think it's cruciate.
He went on operation last week, didn't he?
You're lying.
I don't know. He's out for the season
oh,
anyway.
Oh my God.
SK has sent us a super chat. Some of the games you have left: Wolves, Man, Full, City, Che, Arse, Spurs, Lay. A lot of harder games if you want top four. I think it'll be tough. The thing we've got
is full Fulham. It's not manful.
Manful, yeah. Okay. We've got a lot of these at home is our only saving grace. And someone will correct me on the stat. It's either 8 or 9 of the top. Is it 8 of the top 10 we've played away from home already this season? I think it's only
Man City
away we need.
And Chelsea.
Well, we must have Wolves about 4 times at home. Between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, we got shafted by Real Madrid, and I thought the atmosphere of Anfield could have had an effect on that game, and it possibly did for 20 minutes until Liverpool decided to die.
But
we were really good in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For, you know, 20 minutes.
They're not all Real Madrid either, are they? So we play Tottenham at home, which is
no, but we can make them look like Real Madrid. We do that quite a lot this season.
Come on, Chloe. I mean, look.
I've got Bournemouth away next half 12 kickoff. I can't.
You've got two home games.
She'll be calling them Liverpool Football Club before the end of the show, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Giving them their
full
title.
Football Club.
Liverpool Association Club PLC Limited.
Yeah.
Sports and Athletic Grounds Limited.
You've been.
Liverpool L4.
Fenway Sports. Group, Jürgen Norbert Klopp, Jordan Bryan Henderson. Yeah, look, Wolves.
Wait until she finds out Calvin Ramsey's middle name. That's getting used a lot.
Yeah. Or not at all.
Depends if I see him.
Cool. Ashby's actually sent us an interesting super chat in here. Thank you so much, Ash. It hurts seeing Thiago, a once in generation midfielder, being used like Gareth Barry because of our midfield problems. Also, big up for his work in the community. Just want to highlight it. Yeah, I love how integrated he is to the Scouts culture and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's really thrown himself in. We need him back. It will help Liverpool having him back available. He put in a good shift for us while he was available, and now he's having his standard month off before he comes back. And probably
that was coming though. Yeah. You could see that coming. Yeah. Yeah. His form was like that, and then it started to go like that, and you're like, he's going to get injured here. Yeah. And he did.
I'm sorry, how did he get injured? Literally, I have forgot everything Hip. That has happened Hip. In my life.
Flexor.
But like you say, Chris, on that, like, it was obvious because he was playing so much footy. Yeah. We know he can't play that much footy. It was like Jurgen Klopp, and all of us are watching it in front of our very eyes, and there's always a minute. You could almost sort of pinpoint the minute and goes, that's too much football. And then the next minute, he's injured, obviously. That was so obvious.
You do it with any of them? Matip, Gomez, Keita?
There's a few of them particularly, absolutely, yeah.
You know.
There's like a point in you, oh no, even. I forgot. He looks at his watch, oh no, I should have took him off 5 minutes ago. We've done it now, yeah. That was always going to happen.
It's too late.
I feel like this season has really helped me to just forget absolutely everything. Like, I couldn't
tell
you
what
you're
doing that really well.
Yeah. And like, it's not even just this season. I don't remember what happened post-COVID, and it's all because Liverpool are shite, and I'd rather forget about it.
To the point, looking ahead to Wolves, though, is that we have...
Oh, God.
The away form's the problem. Like, the home form is not the best home form we've ever had in a season, but the home form's all right. And if we're to have any hope of this, Dan, that needs to maintain. You know, we saw this going into the derby the other week. We were all down in the dumps and started thinking, what happens if you lose the derby? I'm a little fearful of United the weekend. How much I will depend upon how we perform against Wolves, but that game's going to be mega. You know, there's going to be a real righteous anger that will be bolstered by us managing to pick up a win against Wolves by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we need to be, is that we shouldn't be needing to beat Manchester United, but that here's where we are. But I kind of like the fact that it's a bit of a fight. It's a bit of an kind of an all or nothing game. Real Madrid is a flight of fancy that's going to take place in a couple of weeks' time. United's the real one. They're in a great mood. I would love, and I think the whole of Anfield will love to fucking wipe the smirk off the face a little bit. And hopefully that's what this week is. it's us going, right, fuck it. There's nothing we can do but turn up and cheer and make some big noise and hope that the lads deliver for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both of these games being at home is a huge plus, 100%. And I think the form of all the teams sort of in and around and chasing the top four is going to be patchy between now and the end of the season. What we've got the opportunity to do with Anfield being a factor and the sheer amount of home games we've got is make that the reason we get top four.
Yeah.
That could easily be the case. Like, our form's never going to be brilliant. We've already said we're not going to win X amount of games on the spin. It's just not likely to happen. We're not there as a football team right now. However, we do have enough games starting with this doubleheader this week at home to make that the bedrock of the reason why we do it. And I think the Wolves game, I don't want to say should take care of itself, but it really should. We know them well enough, let's put it that way, that's for a start. And also it's at home, like you say, it's a Wednesday night, the atmosphere, everything should be pointing in the right direction.
We know
and
where the VAR cameras are.
Yeah, yeah. So we can hide them sufficiently well that they
we won't
they
turn
score.
The lights off during the middle of the game.
Well, exactly, yeah. Unless they're on the attack and then you can just flick that switch and they're gone. Yeah, easy done, yeah. But yeah, like I say, I think the fact we've got so many games left at Anfield and how big a factor that could... Like, Newcastle have that a little bit, I suppose, St James. I actually expect them to fall away a little bit. Yeah. Tottenham's form's going to remain patchy. I think Fulham have had a brilliant season, but they will fall away, I'm almost certain of
Isn't
it.
Isn't that what the Chelsea fans call them?
Wolham, yeah.
You Wolves.
That's because we're just playing Wolves and Fulham constantly. Yeah, so I think, like I say, I think the Anfield factor could be the difference maker in all of this. I really do.
It kind of has to be. I mean, this is the thing. If we win a couple of games, everything will feel loads more sort of stable. But it is that expectation of looking at it and going, well, we're this point behind Newcastle, we're this point behind Spurs. What we'll just do is win all our games and this will be fine. We're not going to win all our games. We're just not. But it sounds horrible because we've got... I did this on the video on my channel this week about it's the pressure of expectation is that we've gone from winning... We're losing one game a season. Basically, you know, a
week.
Yeah, yeah, to basically no, but like to losing one a month on average. You know, I mean, that's where we're at. That's what the difference this season to what we've been like. And you can't. It's very difficult to vocalise saying to people we need to lower our expectations because then people get on like their Nigel Farage style soapbox. Don't you want Liverpool to be good? Don't you want a good Liverpool? I know everyone does, but if we're fucking crap or compared to what we were like, you're just gonna fucking get more upset by how crap we are. If you think we're gonna be at this, we're gonna slot back into that slot this season. We're not. We are not gonna get up to like a 2.5 points a game fucking average between now and the end of the season. We're just not. No. Even if you started.
So even if Indy Kayla puts a bus with 300 million back on for SFG, yeah, we're still not going to get there. Right? Okay, Sans.
But that's where we're at, is that we have to kind of accept that for the level we're at right now and what we're contending for, beat Wolves and draw with Man United, horrible. I know, I just want to beat Manchester United. I'd rather it be the other way round. But that's all of a sudden, that's a half-decent
A week in the top four race is massive. Like, you look at it, like, 2 weeks ago, we're, like, 10 points behind. Then we're, like, 6 points behind a week later.
Yeah.
Now it looks unassailable to Tottenham. So it is mad. You've just got to be able to take a step back, I think, in top four races and go, it is what it is, and it's over a period of time.
Yeah, I think if we were to go undefeated at Anfield, for instance, I think that might just be enough to squeeze us in there. And also, the other thing to factor in here is that we do have games in hand. Now, they're not a given like they once were. Like, season's gone by. Recently, we'd go... Oh, yeah, we've got a game in hand. That's 3 points. You'd almost
do we still
add
have
it
a game in hand?
We do on some teams and not on others.
We do on a couple of ahead of us.
100%.
Do we?
We've got two games in hand on Fulham, I think.
And Spurs, I think we've got... I'm sure we have.
I'm not sure we have on Spurs anymore. We can check it now.
Yeah, sure. Previously,
I know we've
like,
got maybe one on Fulham or two.
We've got two games in hand on Spurs. We've got two games in hand on Fulham. We've played the same as Newcastle now.
Yeah.
And they'll have a game in hand on us after this... After
Wednesday.
This is one of our games in hand on some of the others. Yeah. But to the point, like previously you could take them as like, oh yeah, there's 3 points, done and dusted. You can always add it on in your head. Can't do that as much this season. However, they do still exist. So you do still have to go into them thinking, this is a big opportunity for us to close that gap and win this week. That takes us what points behind Spurs then?
Yeah, we are. We're 10 points behind Spurs at the moment with two games in hand.
And we play them at home.
And we play them at home to come.
Yeah. But again, this is the problem, is that you drive yourself mad working out the permutations. It sounds stupid, it'll work out or it won't. You know, you're not gonna be able to determine. I think we should learn this by now, what our form has been like post Christmas is it's all over the place, the same as everyone else. It's just that we were starting from a lower base because we'd had such a poor start to the season as well. That we'll know. If we get to like the final two or three games of the season and we're there or thereabouts, we'll, you know, then we'll, we can have the chat about it. We'll continue to talk about it because what else are we going to fucking talk about? But yeah, we need to, those home games are going to be big on that. You know, if you're picking the, normally what happens is we get that out the way and we do have that great run at the back end, but we're normally in line for something really good.
Yeah,
it does favour us a little bit, but
my issue at the moment, I think, with all of this is, it's not, you're not chasing one team down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and that's where it becomes harder, isn't it? Because we, you know, we've mentioned Fulham and Newcastle and Tottenham, Brighton aren't out of this. They've got a game in hand on us.
Yeah.
I think they're only a point behind us. Mm-hmm. So they're part and parcel of this. Brentford are probably still part and parcel of this race. So you're talking about five or six teams now. Yeah. And that becomes difficult. I agree, though, if we can get our home form sorted, and that's a great starting point. It's not go and win 11 games on the bounce. It's sort your fucking home form out, and then that should carry us through.
I think we're seventh in the form table at the moment.
Which isn't enough to make.
Which is also where we are in the league, which kind of shows that we are sort of starting to...
What's interesting, if you look at Tottenham's results over the last five, four wins...
Well, they're top of the form table at the minute.
And we've got two. They're the team we're trying to get ahead of. Well, they've got two more wins and probably four more points in the last five games than we have. That's the concern is you've got to be better than them in the form table then and there as well.
Yeah, but Wolves is just one of them games, isn't it? You know, I think this, they have given us some tough games this season. Several, loads, hundreds even.
not as many as Brighton. We lost three times to Brighton this year.
I don't know, mate.
But drawn at home.
FA Cup we drew at home and then they hammered us at their place in the league, yeah.
Yeah. More to the point, though, is that they're in a relegation fight and they're going to be down there and it's at Anfield and it's the league and we've got something to really fight for and we've just got to... It's not going to be a gimme by any stretch, but if they've chosen not to play Bacetic at the weekend... and give Fabinho a little bit of time off, then obviously, and they're being careful with Nunes as well, it stands to reason that it was almost like this was the game that the targeting of the two to make sure that you're as strong as possible for this one.
That's mad to me as well, because like I'm looking at it going, if you put Bacetic in this game, does he make it till the United game? Or you're playing him two back-to-back and then you're giving him some time?
United play midweek as well. So I think there's like a conceit there where...
Who did they play?
They will play...
they play midweek?
I can't remember.
They played Barcelona on the week and this midweek just gone.
Yeah.
They play... I'll get it up. I'll tell you.
Arsenal, Everton.
You're right. Sorry, I'm sure they had the game in midweek this week. I'm sure. So anyway, it doesn't matter. They yeah, okay, well, we're fucked then. Sorry. Try my best.
you haven't got another Europa League game, have they?
No.
Yes, probably. Yeah. It's a Europa League warm-up game. Okay, well, that kind of steps on my point to be perfectly honest, but it's United at home. Hopefully it's one of those you get through on adrenaline to some extent. But you've got to ask your best players to go twice when it comes to playing Man United at the weekend. And you're right, it does feel a little bit like it's all for naught. And if you don't beat Wolves anyway, then you're fucked, aren't you? You can draw to Man United at home. I was looking at it, I think our last five, our goal difference on that is 9-1 over the last five home games against United. But there's 2-0 draws in there. And that's what happens when we're in really good form. We batter United at Anfield now. When we're not, we draw. Yeah. We draw with them. If we're managing the season, the Wolves game is weirdly more important. We've got an opportunity to undo United and maybe begin to drag them into the mire, because they're going to go one or two ways after the back of the League Cup. They're either going to use that as a springboard and propel on, or you get a little bit of fatigue post-celebration, how do you pick yourself back up again, shit going on. But yeah,
unfortunately, I think it might be the former of those two. I think they could use that as spring. I know we're going to come on to this a little bit later, but I think they will kick on from there. For us, I think we've seen the first signs of Klopp managing what's left of the season on Saturday. Yeah. I think he was managing his players, his decision-making, his substitutions were all geared towards what's going to come up on Wednesday. What we do have, just to finish off on the point, ahead of a lot of our rivals for this fourth place, which is what I think we're all playing for, to be honest, is experience of going deep into these things. Not a lot of our rivals do. Newcastle don't. Brighton don't really. They've been brilliant this season. Fulham the same. Tottenham don't have loads of it. We've got experience of going course and distance over the distance.
Man United do play midweek. They play West Ham United in the FA Cup fifth round.
There you go.
Fucking get in, memory. Half saving me. So there you go.
I didn't comment nicely.
Who else is playing that?
I don't care, Chloe. I've just managed to fucking... I've managed to bring my point back from the fucking brink there.
I'm not going to lie, though. I mean, it's West Ham in the FA Cup. You're not going to see a full team in that.
Really?
I don't think. Not against West Ham.
I think both of them. It's one of them. That's one of those where you sort of shake hands before the game.
Needs a bit of fucking positivity in his life. Yeah, Danny Ings back in the goals.
The problem with that is, and it's I always think this for a team like West Ham is, you're literally not going to win the cup. So you're just making it harder to stay up on yourselves.
Yeah,
it's true.
Shame.
I don't mind, though, United getting through that, but as long as West Ham give them a bit of a run for the money, you know.
I don't want them to go through. Can
United
we end this?
Quadruples on for United.
Can we, not the quadruple, a quadruple. Can we end all every time I hear the word quadruple associated with United right now, it drives me insane. Can we stop that this week, please, West Ham? Doing my head in, that is.
Yeah. There's your agony rant section.
Yeah, I should have been, if it wasn't Liverpool related enough to bring it up, but God, it's winding me up.
Okay. Martin Walls sent a £2 super chat in, says we all need to pull together as fans and players. Yeah, and look, ultimately that's easier to do at Anfield than it is to do at Crystal Palace on a Saturday, at an 8 o'clock Saturday kickoff. Sadly, just is what it is.
It's what's happened. As someone who goes the ground, we've tried to do this for a couple of weeks. Doesn't mean it always happens.
No, it doesn't, because you're away. You can't win the atmosphere battle, no. Particularly if the team's not hyper energetic and getting in faces
even
and silence
Everton,
in the crowd.
It was good for a little period when crap. Newcastle away is possibly the best atmosphere I've been in. Real Madrid
the only away game you've seen us win this season.
It was the atmosphere was genuinely boss. Yeah. From the off before kickoff, Real Madrid was sound until Ali gave a goal away, and then it killed the atmosphere, and you never heard it again. I've literally tried. People just can't be arsed. I don't know what it is, but for the last couple of seasons, the atmosphere has not been where it needs to be. And no matter how much you try, there are people in the ground who just can't be arsed.
Because the footy and the atmosphere go hand in hand. Everyone always says when the team's not playing well, everyone goes, the crowd needs to G them up. And
you need something from the team.
You do. Yep. You do. Yeah.
Because you can give it 5 to 10 where it's going to be bosh, but you need a big tackle or something to go your way in that 5 to 10.
Yeah. So we're the pilot light. You know, it's on Liverpool to actually take the pilot light and make it a fire. And that's what they've not done enough of this season. The away form is an absolute joke. It's a joke, and I can't. You know, I've asked this. You do the analysis, and it's like it's not even like obvious metrics for how you measure how Liverpool are so crap away from home. I can't even remember what was good about us away from home, or what stood out about it. Just felt like we controlled football matches well more than we did. But again, we've got two home games this week. It's against different levels of opposition, and hopefully it will be a very fatigued Manchester United side that rocks up. And look, if Marcus Rashford just wants to go back to being injury prone for a bit, that would be lovely. I'm not gonna lie on that one. But I like Anfield when I feel like we've got a bit of a point to prove, or you know, people feel like you know we're getting the underdog thing, isn't it, to some extent? Yeah. United are in a boss mood, and I'd love us to ruin that for them. And the same goes for fuck Wolves. You know, yeah, bore the Wolves. Let's actually just beat them for a change. That'd be much more pleasant.
If you're gonna play a team loads, at least make it in the Champions League.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You get them in the group, and then later on, that would have been nice. Yeah.
That's the way to play a team four.
You're
times.
Right, actually, not really considered that. Not in cups and shit.
Wankers.
Yeah.
Eat a shit, Wolves.
Just to clarify, just to hammer home my point. El Pistol says Man United versus West Ham is next week, not this. You didn't
hammer home a point. Was that a joke?
Yeah, incorrect. It is nice. Wednesday, the 1st of March. I've got the fixtures up this time and everything.
Well, will that pee me next week?
Although Hugh's got a great point, wins one League Cup in 6 years, we're back, baby. Yeah, let them enjoy it. I did see people going, oh, it's like they've won the Champions League, they've won a trophy, lads. Let them enjoy winning the trophies. I was all over the League Cup last year.
Yeah, same.
The only reason the League Cup is a shit cup is when you've been knocked out of it.
Well, that and there's too many handles,
and it's got far too many handles. It's got 50% more handles than it should have. Mm. Or is it 33.3%?
I'm going to have to hold it with two hands and my leg to hold it properly, which is wrong.
Wrong.
Stupid.
In your face.
You know what?
Eat
we'll
a
do.
Shit caramel cup trophy.
I know what I'll have a shit.
You triangled wanker. Right, sad. Okay, well, we're going to wrap the podcast up there. If you want to come and have a continued chat with us about the other teams in the Premier League, we have got the Biased Football Podcast.
I won't be as depressed on that one because we talk about another football club. That's exactly. At least helped me out a little bit this
exactly
weekend.
That, Chloe. We're going to be talking about the continued pressure of Graham Potter. We're going to be talking about how Everton if we think we're in for a slog, then Everton really laid down a marker for how much of a slog is going to be and what that's going to look like for the remainder of the season. We'll do a bit about the not quite Loris Karius redemption story from the weekend and more as well. So make sure you come and join us over there.
Hasn't Chloe been a ray of sunshine today?
Fuck no. Chloe, Jesus
Absolutely not.
Right, Sad, we have got a code for you guys if you want to get involved and come and join us over there. You can get it for just £2 a month for 3 months using the code BIASED. So if you head over to redmenplus.com, click the £5 a month club captain subscription and then use the code BIASED, BIASED in caps. Then you're going to get it for £2 a month for 3 months. And that's loads of shows. You get all the ones we've done previously, all the ones we're going to do for the rest of that time period. Expand and contract. More Chris and hopefully a smiling Chloe Bloxham. If that's not worth the price of admission, I don't know what is.
Sure.
Right, cool. We'll see you over on there. Have a wonderful afternoon otherwise. Ta-da.
Hello, you wonderful Red Men Plus subscriber. Hope you enjoyed watching that video. If you're one of our club captains, just want to give you a heads up on the club legend tier, what you're missing out on. You're missing out on our monthly competition where we're giving away some amazing prizes. You're missing out on the Discord chat, and you're also missing out on getting free Red Men merchandise. So yeah, if you are one of our club captains and you're thinking about going over to club legend, go and give it a try. I promise that you won't regret it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.